Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today, we will reflect on the Gospel from St. Matthew and talk about love as the heart of our faith. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Crucio is a movement focusing on helping Christian lay people become effective Christian leaders. Included in a Crucio weekend retreat are numerous talks, some by a priest, some by lay people. The goal is for those attendees to take what they've learned back into the world. An important point that's stressed is personal spiritual development. A women's Crucio in English and a men's Crucio in English are scheduled at the Corpus Christi Crucio Center, 1200 Lantana, beginning Thursday, November 13th. To hear more or to register, please call Gloria Franco at 249-2450. To learn about other Crucio events, visit diocesecc.org/Crucio.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Barbara, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Again, another beautiful fall day.
Yes, and not too far away from All Saints Day and all the other celebrations we have. And then Thanksgiving and Christmas. And
time is flying.
It flies.
It is flying. Well, this morning we have another wonderful gospel from St. Matthew, so let's prepare our hearts and mind to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, this is a rather short gospel, but it's a pretty powerful gospel.
It is, and it's not as problematic as we've had the last couple of weeks where there's been some back and forth and who should pay the taxes and the others. But really, the Pharisees are approaching Jesus. And in St. Mark, it says here in St. Matthew's Gospel to test him, but St. Mark doesn't report it as a test. It was really a discussion, you know, so I think there's no adversarial kind of relationship here, really. They were just saying to him, which is the greatest of all the commandments? And, of course, there were many. As I think in our own day, in our own faith, we set up many prescripts and even in families, and how many rules do we have, and et cetera. And sometimes we need to narrow it down. And so I think really what they're doing is of all that constitutes our religion, of all the beautiful elements of it in the Jewish faith with the Pharisees. I mean, there's so much beauty to that. But also for us, you know, as we look at our faith, there's so many beautiful elements to it, and there's so many beautiful expressions of it. But also we need to come every once in a while to clarify this question, which is the greatest? What's the heart? I think the question really is here, what is the heart of our religion? And I think basically it's the heart of every religion, which should be, because the heart of every religion is a worship of God by a human person and by human people, by humanity. And so it really, I think it's the same answer in all. It's love. It has to be love because God is love. And so Jesus really hones in on that as God himself and as human, as a man. He really says the first is that God is first, as we see in the commandments as well, the Ten Commandments. That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment, not the only, but the first. From it flows the second, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. At St. Teresa, and I'm going to, in our second segment, really read part of her autobiography of the Little Flower, speaking of love. But she really says, if you want to know how much you love God, look at how much you love your neighbor. So the neighbor, the love of neighbor, is really the external or the incarnational expression of our love of God, which also means, according to if we looked at what St. Teresa is saying, is that the motivation of our actions, the motivation of our thoughts, the motivation of our words should be the love of God. That if we love God, then that motivates us to express ourselves in a particular way. If we kind of look at it, I think, in the reverse, and just kind of thinking about that a little bit myself in preparation, if we did not have the love of God in our hearts, what would our expression of life be?
Oh, I would think it'd be very negative.
It'd be very negative. I think it'd be very empty. As a human person, we have natural good in us. I mean, we're created in God's image and likeness, and so there's a certain and natural good that's in us, and so we're prone to do good. But when you add to that a love of God, that one sets their heart on God, who is the source of life, who is the source of love, who is the source of truth, our actions are motivated with a particular goal in view, which is to express that love of God, which is not only a feeling, but it's also an expression of true gift of oneself to another. And so this is really, I think, what Jesus is speaking of, not only just a commandment to follow, but really delving into the heart of who we are as human persons, as people, children of God, motivated by the fact that God has first loved us, and now we are called to love him, to have that relationship, and then love our neighbor in all circumstances.
Well, Bishop, for several programs and over the past year, you have talked several times about God being love. And when we talked about if we say we love God, then we really need to explore it deeper and deeper and deeper. We just can't say we love God on face value. And I think you're helping us to really examine what that means.
Yeah.
Because if we say we love God, then we need to love our fellow neighbor. And then the actions need to follow that.
Right. Well, it's like, if you have something and you don't use it, you really lose it.
Right.
I always remembered a friend of mine came to visit once and saw a bike that I had in my garage, and it had been a gift through a festival at the parish or something. Somebody bid on it and gave it to me, and of course it stayed on the rack.
Gathering
a little dust, and this was a very good friend, and he just looked at me and he said, "Do you ever go biking?" I said, "No, not really." And he said, looked at me, said, "Use it or lose it." And the next time he came, he took it away from me and took it home to use it. So, but I think it's the same thing with the love of God: use it or lose it. And so, yes, it's also, if you look at it from the point of view of many of the saints, Saint Vincent de Paul used to say that our neighbor is our master. We need a neighbor. We need each other. Why? To express the love of God. You know, without a neighbor, we become isolated, and there's no channel for us to express the love that we have discovered in God. Another one of the saints that I often quote, and I like this because I think, especially in the area of a spirituality and, you know, wanting to develop a spiritual life, many of us have an image of the perfect spiritual life is to be able to go off to an isolated island with no one around, don't talk to me, and let me just live my life in prayer and silence and et cetera. And some have a very, very, very special vocation to do that. But St. Basil the Great, one of the early fathers of the church, had a community which some of them did that, wanted to go off into the desert to be by themselves, to totally contemplate God. He called them back. They were called anchorites, or people who were hermits, you might say. Mm-hmm. He called them back into a community, at least periodically, because he said in one of his writings of his rule, he wrote a rule for them. He said, in the desert alone, you cannot fulfill all of the dictates or mandates of the gospel, because if you are alone, whose feet are you going to wash? If you're alone, how are you going to take the last place at the table, as Jesus said? So if we're really going to live the gospel, and that's what we are called to do, not just meditate on it, but also put it into practice, there are certain parts of it, in fact, all of it, requires a neighbor.
That's right.
As sometimes as inconvenient, as uncomfortable as particular neighbors might be in our lives. And we all have situations where personalities don't click, except, but we need these people. We need each other so that we can show the love of God.
Because to me, if you don't have any interaction with others, then you aren't, there really is no ability to show the love of God. I mean, if you're off in that desert by yourself,
which also
except for the, you know, toads or, you know, snakes or things
snakes,
like that.
Yeah. Which also means we become impoverished.
Right.
Because once we have a neighbor to love, it stirs up the love of God in us. And it's like one of those experiences where the more you do it, the more you want to do it.
Right.
And we've all had that. I think once we get involved in certain charitable works, we're expressing a real concern, and we want to do more. I mean, I know I've seen many people go off on these medical missionary trips, or they go to some place that's really suffered damage because of floods, and they want to do it again. It's not that we want more floods. Well, we need more rain now.
Right.
But, you know, you just want to do it more because it stirs up in us the love of God. And so Jesus is really, in this part of St. Matthew's Gospel, is really focusing our attention. Love God and your neighbor because they go together. You can't have one without the other. That one expresses the other. And the more we love our neighbor, the more we want to be alone with God, because we need to go back to the source. It's as if you took the garden hose and you connect it to the faucet and turn it on. You know, that's connecting with the source, which is God. If you take the garden hose away and separate it from the source, you can turn it on, but nothing's going to flow. And so the more we love our neighbor, the more we are going to be drawn into a union with God in prayer. I think sometimes we try to pray without the love of neighbor, but they feed each other. And so I think that's really what Jesus is saying to all of us. The heart of our religion is love, and loving God is the source to love our neighbor, and loving our neighbor brings us back into deeper union with Almighty God.
Beautiful reflection. We are going to take a short break, and then we will hear about the words of Saint Teresa.
Are you married but often feel alone? Are you and your spouse frustrated or angry with each other? Does talking about your problems seem to only make things worse? Or have you just stopped talking altogether? There is hope. And there is help. Since 1977, couples have learned how to restore their relationship by literally rediscovering what is special about their marriage. Retrovi means rediscover, and is a program that has helped tens of thousands of married couples through difficult times. Retrovi is not a spiritual retreat, nor a sensitivity group, seminar, or social gathering. Retrovi has to be experienced to be understood. The next course in San Antonio begins November 7th. For more information or to register, visit Retrovi, RetrovielleE.org. For questions about specifics of the program, call area 830-612-2035.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, you had said that you were going to read some from the book Story of a Soul, and it was the autobiography of St. Teresa. And she was known as the Little Flower.
The Little Flower. And, of course, her spirituality, she's now a doctor of the church, I think, as we all know, and which means what she has written and her writings are really, for all of us, a teaching element. And so I just pulled up something and actually looked in the index, and Matthew 22, which is what we're reflecting on today, was part of her her autobiography. And just a little bit before I read it, as you know, she wrote this because her sisters in the convent, the Carmelite sisters, insisted that she do so. And she had three other sisters in the order with her. And they really, almost under obedience, asked her to write down toward the end of her life. She had a terrible illness. And so before she died, which she died at a very young age, around 24 years old, they asked her to begin writing. And so it's just very, very profound and yet simple for us to understand. And of course, her spirituality is known as the little way, the way, just a very simple way of life. But she does reflect on this particular passage of St. Matthew from her own experience. So I thought it would be good just to read it. It's a little bit long, but I'll try to read it slowly. And those who are driving,
can listen.
Yeah, listen, stay on the road. And those who are at home, maybe just to close your eyes and listen to this beautiful passage from St. Teresa, the Little Flower. This year, God has given me the grace to understand what charity is. I understood it before, it's true, but in an imperfect way. I had never fathomed the meaning of these words of Jesus. The second commandment is like the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I applied myself especially to loving God, and it is in loving Him that I understood my love was not to be expressed only in words. For it is not those who say, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus has revealed this will several times, and I should say on almost every page of His gospel. But at the Last Supper, when He knew the hearts of His disciples were burning with the more ardent love for Him who had just given Himself to them in the unspeakable mystery of His Eucharist, the sweet Savior wished to give them a new commandment. He said to them with inexpressible tenderness, "A new commandment I give you. You should love one another, that as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this will, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And how did Jesus love His disciples? And why did He love them? It is not their natural qualities which could have attracted Him, since there was between Him and them an infinite distance. He was knowledge, eternal wisdom, while they were poor, ignorant fishermen filled with earthly thoughts. And still, Jesus called them His friends, His brothers. He desires to see them reign with Him in the kingdom of His Father, and to open that kingdom to them, He wills to die on the cross. For He said, "Greater love has no one than to lay down his life for his friends." Dear Mother, she's addressing her spiritual mother in the convent. Dear Mother, when meditating upon these words of Jesus, I understood how imperfect was my love for my sisters. I saw I didn't love them as God loved them. I understand now that charity consists in bearing with the faults of others, in not being surprised at their weakness, in being edified by the smallest act of virtue we see them practice. But I understood above all that charity must not remain hidden in the bottom of the heart. Jesus has also said, "No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket, but upon a lampstand, so as to give light to all in the house." It seems to me that this lamp represents charity, which must enlighten and rejoice not only those who are dearest to us all, but all who are in the house, without distinction. when the Lord commanded his people to love their neighbor as themselves. He had not yet come upon the earth. Knowing the extent to which each one loved himself, he was not able to ask of his creatures a greater love than this for one's neighbor. But when Jesus gave his apostles a new commandment, his own commandment, as he calls it later on, it is no longer a question of loving one's neighbor as oneself, but of loving him as he, Jesus, has loved them, and will love him to the consummation of the ages. Lord, I know you don't command the impossible. You know better than I what my weaknesses and imperfections are. You know very well that never would I have been able to love my sisters as you love them unless you, O Jesus, loved them in me. It is because you wanted to give me this grace that you made your new commandment. How I love this new commandment, since it gives me the assurance that your will is to love in me all those you command me to love. Yes, I feel it when I am charitable. It is Jesus alone who is acting in me. And the more united I am to him, the more also do I love my sisters. When I wish to increase this love in me, and when especially the devil tries to place before my eyes, the eyes of my soul, the faults of such and such a sister, who is less attractive to me, I hasten to search out for her virtues, her good intentions. I tell myself that even if I did see her fall once, she could easily have won a great number of victories, which she is hiding through humility, and that even what appears to me as a fault can easily be an act of virtue because of her intention. I have no trouble in convincing myself of this truth because of a little experience I had which showed me that we must never judge.
My goodness, those two pages were full of very enlightening words.
Yeah,
but a lot to think about.
Yeah. So you can see from her very simple, really, experience, discovering what love is. Love is a commandment, yes. But also that she discovered that love had to become real in loving the sisters that were in the convent with her. And she said, which I think is something that we all need to pay attention to, that it's easy, and Jesus says this in the gospel, that it's easy to love those that love you. But that one sister who's probably unpleasant or maybe had a bad day, or in our case, our coworker that might not be the happiest person, or maybe someone in the family that's offended me, that's a neighbor. And that's the neighbor that perhaps Jesus wants us to love even more, or he wants to love them through us, as she would say. And so to look for something good in them. We tend to always look at what's wrong with someone or what's wrong with a situation. Very little do we look what could be good. But once we tap into what's good in another person, we're able to really come out of ourselves and love that person, and it draws out more from us. And I think this is what St. Teresa is really saying, that she really discovered what love is. She knew it's being nice, yes, but it's especially in those neighbors that may be a little more difficult for us that we really go into the depth of what love really is, because on the cross, Jesus showed us the supreme mm-hmm. love.
Well, and I don't have the exact words of what she said, but I remember she was saying that if somebody else's actions may be something that you don't particularly like, you don't really know what their intent is,
right,
or their
right,
virtue
right.
is.
Exactly.
And well, that comes, I mean, how many of us have all made an assumption about
right.
somebody's
right.
actions or behaviors without really know what their original yeah. intent was?
Sure, sure. And even just judging a person by their appearance, and you don't
right.
even know them.
Right.
And yet you go, I mean, this happened to me a couple of times where you then go meet them and you're embarrassed because you maybe even if it was a fleeting thought about that person, but then you know them and you think, oh my goodness, you know. But
mm-hmm.
but this is where life is really a stage for learning what love really is, because in heaven, which is what we're all called to, there's nothing but love. And so this is why it's the heart of our life and our religion, our faith, to learn to love now, because that's what we will be sharing in eternal life. So it's a precursor, it's a pre-taste now.
Well, and I had been reading the Our Living Faith, mm-hmm. you know, the booklets that we have. And for today, it was interesting because it talked about the term worship, and it said that it comes from worth-ship, and it says, who do you love most? You express that in your worship. And of course, that's why we go to Mass mm-hmm. on a weekly basis and sometimes on a daily basis
right.
to worship.
Sure. It's to not only to give praise and glory with our lips, but with our heart, with our body. You know, we have to get there and to be totally present with our mind. And I think this is where Jesus, again, is quoting that, to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we might ask ourselves, does he have my mind? Does he have my heart? Does he have my strength? Or does he just have half of me? Right. And that's the real test.
In which case, I need to give more.
We all need to give more. None of us are there.
Right.
That's right.
Well, a lot for us to reflect on. So, Bishop, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing, please.
God, our Father, your Son has opened for us again the way to love in this gospel today. Help us during this week to be aware of every neighbor, especially those who may be difficult for us. Open our hearts to express our love for you in our love for them. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us on this Sunday morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.